Amazing, amazing. Well, hey, good morning. My name's Jamie. I'm the pastor of East Cobb Church. So glad you're here. For those of you here for the first time, welcome. Really glad you're here. Look forward to meeting you perhaps afterwards. We're in the middle of the series. Like they said, games we play. And if you're just joining us, we've been at it for 4 weeks. It's the last part. And if you're just joining us, let me catch you up real quick. The premise of this is that we all, for the most part, more or less like games, some more than others and some with more intensity than others. But we all, in some way, in our own way, we like playing and or watching games because games are great. Games are fun. I mean, whether it's board games or yard games or video games or sports games or the Olympic games, we like watching and or playing games. And games are great. But the premise of this series has been simply that there's one area of our lives where games are not. There's one specific area of our lives where when we play games, it's almost always, and there it is, almost always a bad idea, and that's in our relationships. When we play games in our relationships, usually it doesn't go well, and here's why. Because when you play games in relationships, that means there has to be a winner and a what? And a loser. And when there has to be a loser, when somebody has to lose in a relationship, it usually means that no one ends up winning. The examples that I've been given every single week for just to get you in the right zone are like, for example, when you've played the win the argument game and you won, but you found yourself wondering like, did I though? Because like they're crying and it's not looking really good for anyone right now. Or it's when you played the cold shoulder game and man, you really stuck it to them and you got them. And yet at the end of that week, you found yourself wondering like, who actually won this game? I'm not really sure. It's because we all have a tendency to play, to do this. We all have a tendency to play games in our relationships that require somebody to lose. And when we do that, usually no one ends up winning. When somebody has to lose, usually no one ends up winning. And the whole idea of this series, the invitation of this series has been, we gotta stop. It's not like we gotta figure out how to play the game better. No, we just gotta stop playing games in our relationships. And that's been the invitation that God is inviting us to play, to stop playing, so that we can play the one game that actually doesn't require a loser, the game that he actually designed our relationships to operate on. I don't know if you knew that, that there's a particular game that God designed our relationships to thrive on. It's what we started with week one, if you want to go back and listen. But it's the honor game that we are all invited to play, if we're Jesus follower, commanded to play the honor game. The honor game is simply the game where you actually compete to out-honor each other, the game where you compete to out prioritize each other, out serve each other, out love each other, out forgive each other, out honor each other. It comes from the words of the Apostle Paul. He said it this way, be devoted to one another in love. And by the way, you wanna know what love looks like, what love would look like in the relationships that matter most to you. Here's a really good picture. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. The idea that you would honor one another and you would consider other people as more important than yourself. Not saying that they are more important, though some people may be more important than us, but we believe that we all have equal value before God. But God is saying, no, that's the secret though. I want you to treat one another as if you were more important than me, as if they were more important than you. That's the secret for how your relationships were meant to work. You're meant to play the honor game. We started there week one with this invitation. Let's play the honor game. That's what we're missing most from many of our relationships. The only problem was many of us were also already playing other games in our relationships. It's not like we had no games going on and we could just pick up a new one. No, we already had plenty of other games that we were playing in some of our most important relationships that are getting in the way, that undermine our ability to play the honor game. And that's what the rest of the series has been about for the last couple weeks, this being the final one. We've been talking about the games we play that get in the way. The games we play that get in the way. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about the three most common games that we tend to play at home. And then last week, I talked about the three most common games we tend to play at work that undermine our ability to play the honor game. And so today, this morning, I would like to switch gears a little bit and talk about the three most common games, in my opinion, that I see us playing with God. The three most common games that I see you playing and I see myself playing with God, because we don't just play games in our relationships, you know, with one another. We play them in all of our relationships. We all have a tendency to play games with God, games that get in the way of having the kind of relationship you wish you had, the kind of experience of God that you wish you had. Get in the way of of us experiencing all of his plan for our lives. And not only that, it also gets in the way of not only of us like honoring God and experiencing him, it also gets in the way of our relationships with the people around us. Because whether we realize it or not, this is just a principle in life. You'll start paying attention to this, you'll notice this. Other people generally are impacted by our relationship with God. We tend to pass on our relationship with God in one way or another to the people around us. Whether they realize it or not, people around you are direct beneficiaries of or casualties of the kind of experience and relationship that you have with God. So there's like a lot more going on when we play games with God. A lot more at stake than just the spiritual side of us. It impacts our life and it impacts the people around us. And so that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the three most common games I think we play with God. And just to be honest, not to brag or anything, but I would know because this is what I do. You know, I'm a professional Christian and I hear people talk about their relationship with God all the time. And not only that, but of course I know myself. And so I want to talk about three games that I see us playing all the time. Games that are getting in the way of our relationship with God and all that he has for us. And as I've said every week, look, chances are you're not playing all three of them. That's not the point, but chances are you're playing one or two or some version of one. And the invitation, as I said, is simply to stop playing so that we can start playing the game that matters most with God and with the people around us, the honor game. So here we go. The three most common games that I see us playing with God in our lives. And the first one's a doozy, one I played for a good portion of my life. And it's the merit game. Everybody say the merit game. Oh, that was pretty good. You guys are in it. Thank you. The merit game. What's the merit game? The merit game is the game where you earn whatever God does for you. It's the game where you earn whatever God does for you. You could call it the quid pro quo game. You could call it the 100% on commission game. It's the game where you earn whatever, where God's love, where his blessing, where his protection, where his answering your prayers, where his healing, or his funding, what you need and want, his leading in your life, his manifesting in your life, his forgiving of you and all the things you've done wrong, his saving of you, where it is earned by good behavior, where it is earned by religious practice, where it is earned by sacrificial virtue, or it's earned by doing whatever that God wants you to do. It's the merit game. And so many of us are playing it. So many of us, I mean, so many people I know are playing the merit game with God. And it's not like for no reason. It's because for some of us, this is the only game that we have ever been given with God. It's the only game we've ever known to play with God. Maybe it's what we were taught, or maybe you just had no idea. So you filled in the blank. You're like, well, everybody else in life is this way. So I'm sure it's this way with God. And it's the merit game. You earn whatever you get with God. And the game part of it, the part that you know, you know, some of you are like, well, this is how God works, of course. And the game part of it is the negotiation. The game part of it is the negotiation. This is kind of silly, but I see this all the time and I've done this myself. It's kind of like coupons. It's how we operate with God, right? You're like, God, I've been to church all month, you know? Thank you. All four Sundays, you know, so we did it, we got here. So that should be good, right? For like, I don't know, three blessings maybe? Like, okay, so I'll take a good sales report, no speeding tickets, and you know, our cat Fifi gets healed of whatever she's got going on again. My gosh, like, let's just stay healthy here, cat. Like, you know, we're like, yeah, sweet. I've done my thing, so you do your thing, quid pro quo, right? We do it the other way, of course, as well. We feel it the other way, of course, like when you don't do the right thing, when you mess up, you know, you do that thing you like promise God you're never gonna go, you know, do again. You know, from the last negotiation, we were like, God, if you please, I will never. And you're like, here you are, just doing the never thing all over again. And you're like, God, I know. The next three, I'm on my own. I got it. You know, and you're like, Fifi, sorry, this is God's not helping you this time. We're out of credits, okay? I'm being silly. But I mean, those are kind of the games we play. If you really step back and listen to the way you pray or listen to the way you talk to God, you kind of hear that. I mean, more seriously, it's why you get hyper-spiritual whenever you need something or you have a crisis. All of a sudden, it's why some of you haven't talked to God in like 3 years because you are so sure he's mad or at best he's indifferent. You're like, he don't want to hear from me. It's the merit game. And like so many of us and so many people in our community and so many people, you know, it's what they're playing. And it's why so many people feel so much uncertainty with God. I see it all the time. This is why so many people feel so much uncertainty with God. Because you never know where you stand. Like, you never know what God exactly is going to be willing to do. All you know is that you're not a shoo-in for anything. That's what you know. Because if you're paying attention, like, at all, if you have any measure of self-awareness, not just of your actions, but, like, your thoughts and your motives, you know, and those, like, secret things that nobody knows that happen in your heart, if you're paying attention at all, like, you know that what you want from God and what you've earned from God, they're not the same thing. So much uncertainty, I see it all the time. It's also why so many people who believe in God don't feel close to him. See this all the time, hear it all the time. It's why so many people who believe in God don't feel close to them, and here's why. Because as long as you play the merit game with God, your relationship with him is always gonna be conditional. You know what I mean? Like his love for you is contingent upon your performance. But if you think about the relationships that are most important to you, that you enjoy the most, that you get the most joy out of, like your marriage, your family, your relationships, your best friends, those relationships are all the opposite. They are unconditional. I love you no matter what. I might get mad at you, but no, I mean, I love you no matter what. This is why so many people who believe in God don't feel close to him, because they're playing the merit game and not winning. See it all the time. And that's why what I am about to say next, I think, is so, so important. God does not relate to you. He does not love you. He does not provide for you or protect you or forgive you or help you or save you according to your merit. God does not. Despite what you may have been told or believe your whole life, God does not play the merit game. Quite to the contrary, the core message of Christianity, the good news of great joy for all people of Christianity, is that God has already played and won the merit game for you. He's already played and won the merit game for you. And Apostle Paul, I believe, captures it so well. He tells us about the merit game. He knew what you and I have discovered, that we were gonna play the merit game and we were gonna end up losing. And so he played it for us instead. And the Apostle Paul describes it this way. It's pretty extreme. He goes, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It's like, whoa, why are we talking about death? Well, Paul's saying the merit game in life is a game of life and death. Sin always leads to death. Sin always leads to death. That's just the only place it leads. Sin is always going to lead to things dying. And so it's a game of, the merit game is a game of life and death. And he's saying you played the merit game and you lost and you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, not rich in judgment, not rich in anger, not rich in score keeping, but like rich in mercy, like whoever, Elon Musk, rich in mercy, he made us alive. And he did it through Christ, with Christ. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead for us to take our place in the game. This is the whole point. Jesus lived for us, trading his perfect record for our sinful one. And he died for us, trading himself as a payment for our failures and our shortcomings. And he rose from the dead to trade his eternal life for our death for his life. Jesus played the merit game for us, and he won. And the result is the good news of Christianity. This is the whole message of Christianity. Maybe some of you have never heard this. The result is the good news of Christianity, that it is by grace that you have been saved. It is by, not merit, it is by grace that you have been saved. Do you know what grace means? Grace is a Bible word, a church word that simply means something that is entirely undeserved and unearned. Let me say that again. Grace is something that is entirely undeserved and unearned. The merit game has already been played and won by Jesus. And it means that your relationship with God and his love for you and his presence in your life and his provision of you and how he feels about you and his forgiveness of you and his saving of you is by grace. It is yours for free. Not because of you, but in spite of you. Because of Jesus. It's a gift you receive, not a reward that you earn. And then Paul, he summarizes it. These are some of the most famous verses in the Bible. Some of you have this memorized. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God wants us to stop playing the merit game. So many of us and so many people you know, this is the only game they play with God. It's the only game they've ever known. And God's like, I want you to stop, because I don't play it. It's already been played and won. He wants us to stop playing the merit game, number one, so we can have the relationship with him that he created us to have, an unconditional one. That's the whole point. That's the relationship God wants to have with you. But number two, he wants us to stop playing the merit game so that we can actually play the honor game. And here's where the honor thing comes in here. Because, you know, it's pretty hard to honor God's grace while living and praying as if it doesn't exist. That's a pretty hard thing to do. I mean, it'd be like you buying your son a car and it's just a gift, but he keeps trying to pay you back. And you're like, what are you doing? It's a gift. He's like, no, I got it. And he like gets a job while he's in high school, his grades start suffering. You're like, you don't need to do that. What are you doing? You know, he's like apologizing. Things get tense. He's like feeling embarrassed. He goes to college. He gets out of a loan. He stops calling because he's like, I know, I'm going to pay you. And you just grab him and be like, it was a gift. He's like not honoring the gift in the same way. Man, it's pretty hard to honor the grace of God paid for by the blood of Jesus while playing the merit game and living as if it doesn't exist. God's like, hey, I want you to honor what I've done for you. Receive it, you know? I mean, on top of that, it's also pretty hard. I found this to be true, and I wonder if you have too. I think you have. I've seen this happen over and over again. It's pretty hard to honor other people while you're playing the merit game with God, because like I said, you really do. Have you ever noticed this? You really do tend to pass on your relationship with God to other people. And if you feel like you're trying to earn his love all the time, you're most likely gonna make them earn your love all the time. If you're being made to pay, most likely you're gonna make them pay. This is kind of how it works. So God's saying, just stop playing the merit game. Stop playing the merit game. I've already played and I've already won, and it's yours for free. So if you're playing this game with God and you're like, man, I would love to stop. I would love to have the relationship that you're talking about that God wants to have with me. Then you can. Starting right now, you can walk out of here and just stop playing this game. And all you need to do to stop playing the merit game is to receive the gift. That's literally the antidote. The opposite of the merit game is receiving the grace of God. That's it. And if you struggle with this game, it's likely that you've forgotten about or you've never received to begin with the grace of Jesus. And like I said, there's some of you in the room, you're like, man, I don't even know, I'm not even a Christian. I don't really know how this thing going on. The only game you've ever heard about that you could be playing with God is the merit game. And maybe it's why you don't have a relationship with him. And maybe we heard the game that you think you have to play with God. We'd be like, oh my gosh, no wonder. No wonder you don't think God likes you. No wonder you're not in. No wonder you haven't pursued this. And all I wanna do is invite you to consider the grace of Jesus. Like, you should go read Ephesians 2 and listen to what Paul is saying and let him change your mind about how God feels about you. And maybe you'll get to the point where you go, you know what? I wanna trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I wanna receive his grace and let it completely change your relationship with God. Because I'm telling you, the real deal is way better than you think. If you're playing the merit game, I got really good news. The real deal, it's way better than you think. You gotta receive the gift. Oh, you gotta receive the gift. But that's not just for people that, you know, don't have a relationship with God or never done the Christian thing. It's also for me. You know, there's probably a lot of you like me that, like, you know this is true. Like, you've received the grace of Jesus, but you just slip back into playing the merit game in your life, like, all the time. I do this all the time. I'm like, oh, God's mad at me. Probably, you know, man. And if that's you, you got to do the same thing. You've got to receive the gift, not for the first time, but, like, for the 50th time all over again in a fresh way. Like, you need to go this week and meditate on Ephesians 2 like 3 or 4 times in the morning before you go to work. Or you need to put on that worship song regularly in your life that reminds you of the grace of God. Like, I don't know, Living Hope, or like, Your love never fails and never, whatever that one is. You know, that one. Like, you gotta put it on and be like, oh yeah, I don't gotta play the merit game. He's already won it for me. I have the grace of Jesus, and you need to receive the gift because you're living like it's not true. And it's the truth is so much better. The relationship God wants with you is so much better. So, receive the gift. Some of you need to walk out of here today and you need to focus on this. And I hope you will, because the real deal is so much better than the game we play. Number two, though, maybe that merit game is not your thing. Maybe you're like, nah, it's not what I do. Maybe this is the game that you play with God. And oh my gosh, so many people, I've done this so much in my life, play this game, the toe the line game. Have you ever played the toe the line game with God? Let me tell you what the toe the line game is. It's when you toe the line, you know, get up to the line of what is wrong or what is unwise or what's unhealthy or what is dangerous or what is a violation of your conscience or a violation of your future hopes and dreams. And you see how far you can get up to the line without going over. And so many, every single one of us has played this game multiple times. Some of us are playing it right now. Some of us are playing it right now, like with things that matter in our lives. Like, let me give you some examples, and these hit close to home to me as well, so you're not alone. It's like when you're spending way too much money on things you don't need to be buying or taking on way too much debt, but you tell yourself and God, like, hey, we're not gonna go bankrupt. We're still paying our bills. It's not over the line. It's fine. It's like when you flirt with a woman on a business trip as a married man, and you tell yourself and you tell God, like, we're not gonna cheat. This isn't over the line. It's like when you nurture and maintain an unhealthy habit. I mean, whatever it is, you know it's unhealthy and it's not leading you down a good road, but you're like, I haven't had like a bad result. I haven't had a bad health report yet. It's not over the line. Everybody does it. It's not a big deal. It's like when you're doing something shady at work and you tell yourself and God, I mean, it's not that illegal. This is like what they're really worried about. It's just nobody will know. And you play this game with your conscience. You play this game with God. You play this game with your life and with your future. And you know, you tell yourself, you're like, okay, well, if here's the line, and I, you know, the line where danger is there, disaster is over there, consequences are over there, I'm gonna stay right here. And presumably the reason is to max out the benefit and the enjoyment of living on the edge and to minimize the cost of, you know, self-restraint and the inconvenience of always doing the right thing. And all the while, you know, just stopping just short of disaster. And it's like, well, danger's out there. Losing my marriage is out there. Losing my job is out there. Losing my health is out there. Consequences are out there. But I'm safe right here and I'll just stay right here. I'm good. It's a toe the line game. But there's just one problem. There's just one problem, and it's this. How many times can you go up to the line without going over? Seriously, think about it. How many times can you go up to the line without going over? Either intentionally or unintentionally. And here's the answer is you don't know. I don't know. You don't know. How many times can you go up to the line over and over again without going over, intentionally or unintentionally? And the answer is you don't know. But here's what you do know. You know it's not this. That's really big, but that's infinity. You know it's not infinity. Like, you know that's true. So what the truth is this. There's just some number X out there, and it's waiting. There's a number X out there, and it's just counting down. And the world is full of stories. This room is full of stories. Your own life is full of stories. I know, because my own life is full of stories where I stepped over the line either intentionally or unintentionally, and I paid the price. And yet we keep playing. We keep playing, daring chance to give us consequences and demanding God clean up when we do, when it does. It's gonna dare chance. Oh yeah, bring it on, chance. Daring chance to give us consequences and demanding God, you're gonna clean it up when it happens, right? And it's dishonoring. You can't play these two games. You cannot play the toe the line game and the honor game with anyone in your life at the same time. You can't. It's dishonoring to you, right? Because you're playing games with your marriage. You're playing games with your finances. You're playing games with your future. you're flirting with consequences, with harm. It dishonors you. But it also, of course, dishonors the people around you. I mean, clearly. Like, think about your kids. This is a thought that hit me. Your kids have a dad or a mom who's toeing the line, playing the toe-the-line game with their family. Your employees have a boss who's playing the toe-the-line game with the company's future, its finances. Your spouse has a partner who's playing the toe-the-line game with their health. It's dishonoring. But then lastly, it's also dishonoring to God. I mean, the God who has a plan for you, who wants you to have life and life to the fullest, who wants you to become the best version of yourself, who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead to set you free so that you could be who he created you to be. And instead of running in his direction, we flirt with the line that he's moved to heaven and earth to keep us away from. And he's going like, stop. Stop flirting with what I died to save you from. Stop flirting with what I died to set you free from. Life to the fullest is over here. Come on. My plan's way better than this. Get out of here. So for all those reasons, God is inviting us to stop playing this game with him and with ourselves. Stop playing. And the wise King Solomon, I think, gives us the secret for stopping. God, through Solomon, gives us this proverb. Proverbs are simply wise observations about the world. Looks out at the world and says, hey, you know what's true? This is true. He says this, and when you read it, you're like, yeah, this is totally true. He says, hey, the prudent, this is the wise, they see danger and they take refuge. But the simple, they keep going and they pay the penalty. He's like, hey, the simple, this is another word for fools. Foolish people, they see danger and they keep going. They just keep living on the line, even though they know the day's coming when they're going to cross it. They know, but they keep doing it. But not so you, with you. The prudent, the wise, the kind of people you are, right? They see danger and they take refuge. They foresee it and they do something about it before it ever happens. That's what wise people do. And that's who you are. It's at least who you want to be. In our church and around our church, we call this principle a guardrail. Talk about it all the time. Talk about having guardrails in your life. This is a guardrail principle, the principle of having a guardrail in your life. We talk about it literally all the time, so I'm not gonna belabor it too much, but real quick, if you never heard it, a real life guardrail along the road, you know what it is. It's like a metal thing, a barrier that is placed not on the line of danger, it's placed well back from the line of danger so that when and if, God forbid, you hit it, you're still not in danger. You're not going over the cliff. No, you just hit the guardrail. All's good, might have to fix the car, but I'm still alive, we're still here, right? Well, in the same way, a life guardrail is a conscious decision not to live on the line. It's a conscious pre-decision to put a barrier in your life via a rule or a habit or a system that is placed well before the danger. It makes you wake up and see the danger and take action. It's designed. The whole point of it is to keep you from ever going over the line or even getting close. Like, here's an example from some of the earlier examples I used. Like, here's an example of a guardrail. I'm never gonna have a one-on-one meal, take a personal call just to chat, or direct message another woman than my wife. Wow, that's pretty extreme. No, losing my family is extreme. That's a guardrail. I'm not saying you have to have that. And not all that extreme. A guardrail can be something as simple as a budget. That's a guardrail. Like, financial ruin is out here, but I'm gonna place a guardrail here and it's called my budget, and we're gonna be held accountable to it and we're not gonna spend beyond it. And if we do, we're gonna change course. It's a guardrail, right? An alarm clock at 6 a.m. to get up and work out and invest in your health. That's a guardrail. It's that simple. So the question is, where are you playing the toe-the-line game? And God is just saying, hey, stop. If you wanna stop, this is what you need to do. You need to install a guardrail. You need to go and install a guardrail in your life. I'm not saying it's foolproof, but it's what wise people do. God's saying, hey, stop playing the toe-the-line game. It's not what I want for you. It's not what you want for you. And it's certainly not what the people around you want for you and from you. Go put guardrails in your life. And if you need help in whatever area, like, hey, where do you need a guardrail? Go build one. And if you need help, you're like, I don't know. This is a new concept. Not really sure. Talk to me. I would love to help you confidentially. I've had so many people help me put guardrails in my life. I would love to pass that on. Or if you're in a community group, your leader is a great person to ask about that. Or if you just want to email me, off, you know, confidentially, I'll just shoot you back some ideas of what guardrails could be in your life, but go put some guardrails in your life. It'll bless your life, and it'll honor God, honor you, and honor those around you. Let's stop playing the total line game. It doesn't work. Number three, finally, maybe this is the one you're playing. I played this one a lot in my life. I'm gonna guilty, you know, probably played it a lot more than you. But maybe you've played it as well at some point in your life. Maybe you're playing it right now. It's the on-demand game. Everybody say on-demand game. On-demand game. So on-demand game is the one a lot of us play with God. It's the game where we invite God into our lives on our schedule and per our agenda. It's when we invite God into our lives on our schedule and per our agenda. Like, for example, role play it for a second. You want something. Got something important coming up. You need something. And you pray something like this. I'm gonna make light of it, so I'm gonna exaggerate a little bit, but you pray something like this. You're like, oh, Lord of all creation, Lord of my life, I need you. So, please intervene. Oh, and by the way, here is what, where, when, and how you're gonna intervene, okay? And so what I need you to do, in this window of time, you just come on the scene, take charge, and do your things. And while you're at it, you're going to accomplish these five objectives. You're going to write this down. These five things is what I need. And then when you're done, I'll just take it from there, okay? Amen? That's on demand God. It's when we invite God in and put him in charge in windows of need and want in our lives. And tons of people are playing this game with God every single day. They have an on demand God. And here's the problem with that. The only problem with that is that, yeah, tons of people may be playing this game with God, but like some of the other games, it is not one that he joins in. God does not play the on-demand game. God does not join in with your on-demand game. I'm not saying that God doesn't take care of you or that he's not gonna answer your prayers or that he won't protect you or that he won't provide for you. Of course he is. He's a good father and he'll do it because it is by grace you have been saved. It's not the merit game. We've already covered that. But don't be surprised. This is the bad news. Don't be surprised if he doesn't always show up when you hit the on-demand button. And you're like, you know, like what? Don't be surprised. Some of you are like, no, I'm not, because it's happened a bunch in my life and I've wondered why. Well, this is why. Don't be surprised when you hit the on-demand button and God doesn't show up exactly like you wanted him to. Because you know what? There's something he wants more. Yes, he wants you to be taken care of and provided for and protected, but there's something he wants more than that. Something he wants so much so that he's willing to interrupt your game to get your attention. And the thing that he wants is you. The Apostle Paul says it really well, so vividly as always. He's like, let me tell you about the on-demand game. It's not the game God plays. Here's the game God does play, though. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, offer yourself, offer your life, offer your finances, offer your career, offer your future. Just take you and offer it as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Hey, you know what you need to do? You need to go offer yourself as a living sacrifice, as a living version of an all-in offering to God. You don't put God on demand. No, what you need to do is you put you on demand. Yeah. You say, hey, God, I'm yours. Living sacrifice. And my answer is yes. That's what a sacrifice is. It's just a living sacrifice. Like, yes. To what? To whatever, to wherever, to whenever, to however, God. I am fully available to you and to your will for my life. Paul says, hey, by the way, if you want a good definition of worship, that's what worship really is. It's not actually just singing. It's when you are a living sacrifice to God. You can do that through singing and talk about it through singing, but that's what worshiping God looks like. He says, hey, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, you know, playing the on-demand game like everybody else does, but be transformed. Think differently and live differently by the renewing of your mind. And then here's the principle. He says, then, everybody say then. Then, at that point, not before, at that point, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yes, God has a plan for you. Yes, God wants to get involved in your life. Of course he does. He wants you to have life to the fullest. He wants you to become the best version of yourself. He wants you to train. He wants to transform you through the power of the Holy Spirit to make you who you created to be. God does have a plan for you. God does want to get involved in your life. But if you want to discover that plan and you want to experience it, you got to get the order right. You got to get this order right. Hey, it's not God, you submit your plans to me, and then I'll tell you whether it's a yes or a no. It's like, no, that's not how it works. It's you, God, I'm going to submit myself to you. And then you'll decide when and how to reveal and realize your plan for me in my life. Paul says that's how it works. That's how it works. It's not on demand you. It's not on demand God. It's about on demand you. On demand God is not a game God plays along with, so we gotta stop playing. We gotta stop playing it. To the extent that we play it, we just dishonor God. We dishonor his position in our lives, like he's Lord of my life, you know? On demand. And we also dishonor his plan. God's going like, hey, my plan is so much better than you just dabbling in it. Then you like hopping in and out, you know? When you want something, when you need something, he's like, my plan's way better than that. Come on. Make it on demand you. Just come on, go all in. Also though, and I was thinking about this too, I think it also dishonors indirectly the people around us. This is what got me thinking about it this week. When I play this game, you know, I indirectly end up robbing my kids, because my kids, along with me, they have to settle for just my plans for my life rather than God's plans for my life. My kids have to settle, or your employees are gonna have to settle, or your spouse is gonna have to settle for just on-demand God version of you rather than the on-demand you version, where you belong to him. It's dishonoring. And so God's like, hey, stop playing. The alternative is so much better. So wherever you find yourself playing the on-demand game, here's what I want you to do. Just starting this week, walk out of here and go open your hands. You know what I mean by that? You know, wherever you find yourself being like, this is mine. Just on demand. You know, whenever I'll let you know when I need you. The invitation of God is to go, fine, okay. It's yours. And you offer it to God as a living sacrifice. That whether it's a relationship, whether it's your finances, whether it's whatever you have your hands so tightly clenched around your life, the invitation is to do this. Start there. That's how you stop playing the game. Is you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You just go on. You say, God, the answer is yes to whatever, whenever, whatever. It's not on demand God. No, it's on demand me. Do it. Stop playing the game. The on demand game, settling. What God has really for you is so much better. Just go all in. It's my advice to you. So these are the games. Which one are you playing? If you're like me, you've played all of them. You're playing many of them right now. So stop. What's on the other side is so much better. With God, with your life, with what he wants to do, so much better. And it's so much better for everyone around you. So if you're playing the merit game, go receive the gift. If you're playing the total line game, go install a guardrail. If you're playing the on-demand game, go open your hands around whatever you got it so tightly wrapped around. Because games are great, but just not in relationships. And not in our relationship with him. So the invitation is to stop. So we can start playing the one game that matters, the honor game, the one where we honor God and all that he has for us, and therefore honor other people around us the way he has called us to. Stop playing games and see what God has. That's what I'm praying for you. I hope you pray for me, because I got some games I need to stop playing too. In fact, let me pray for us right now and we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, thank you for putting up with all my silly games. You're a really good dad. You're a really good Heavenly Father. I'm sure sometimes you're laughing watching me play my little games for the 400th time, you know? So thanks for your grace, like we started the whole thing with. And I pray for everyone in this room who's playing a game that's getting in the way of their relationship with you, maybe getting in the way of experiencing all that you have for them. I pray that they'd stop. And as a result, they'd find out that the reality is so much better. Like, you're so much better than we think. You're so much better than we think. And you love us so much more than we sometimes think. And you have so much more for us than sometimes we believe. And I pray that for a lot of people in this room. That's the surprise they'll have this week. They'll stop playing one of these games and go, oh man, I had no idea. So God, as always, would you give us wisdom to know what we need to do with what we just heard, and give us courage to go and do it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. So great seeing you. Thanks for being here. If this is your first time or there's anything I can do for you, I'm going to be right here after, right now. I'm going to go right down there. I'd love to say hey or help you if I can. Don't forget about the Love Where You Live drive next week. Bring your stuff here if you can. We'd love for you to do that, please. And out there in the parking lot is Dippin' Dots, guys. That's Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future. Well, y'all go have fun. We love you. Go love where you live.